Welcome to Torah Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sidi Zuckerman, and today we'll be studying Malachim Bet, Perek Tet, Chapter 9. In ancient times, pagan societies tended to worship vengeful gods, who they believed punished their adherents at whim. An important message that comes through in this Perek is the message that, in contrast with pagan deities, Elokei Yisrael, Hashem, is both a just and a compassionate God. While onesh, punishment, is necessary once chances for tshuva have run out, the purpose of onesh is to facilitate tshuva, to remind us to renew our relationship with God. In the previous parak, Elisha appointed Hazael king of Aram, carrying out the first half of the mission given to him by Eliyahu. In this parak, Elisha carries out the second half of the mission, which is to appoint Yehu to wipe out Beit Ahab as a punishment for their idolatry and evil ways, most specifically for the murder of Navod HaYisraeli. The way this mission is carried out in this parak highlights two important themes that relate to the idea of schar v'onesh, divine reward and punishment. The first theme is the idea that Hashem always fulfills the nevuah of a Navi. We will see how the parak emphasizes Hashem's follow-through of the nevuah that Ahav's family will be wiped out. The second theme is the use of the symbolic mechanism of mida keneged mida, measure for measure, in carrying out a punishment. When punishing someone via mida keneged mida, the punishment is linked symbolically to the crime in order to serve as an educational tool. Rav Yosef Albo, in his Sefer Ikarim, explains that the purpose of utilizing the mechanism of mida keneged mida is as follows. When a consequence has a thematic connection with the sin that precipitated it, it makes it clear that the punishment is an outgrowth of the sin, and therefore it's more likely to lead to the intended goal, which is tshuva. We will see in this parak that Ahav's wife and son are killed with mida keneged mida. Beginning our story, Elisha needs to appoint Yehu, the general of the army for Malchut Yisrael, to assassinate King Yehoram and wipe out Beit Ahav. However, Abarbanel points out that Elisha was too well-known a figure to deliver this message to Yehu himself. If he would travel to speak with Yehu, it would look pretty suspicious, and people would assume that he came to give some sort of negative prophecy. News would then spread quickly and jeopardize the mission. And therefore, Elisha summons a close student of his, according to Rashi, the Navi Yonah ben Amittai, who was still unknown at that time. If you think about it, this is a pretty dangerous mission. Imagine sneaking into Stalin's Moscow to appoint a new general secretary of the Communist Party. So Elisha tells Yonah in Pasuk Aleph, verse 1, Chagar matnecha, gird your loins, meaning hurry, do this quickly and courageously, since it's a dangerous mission. It instructs him to go to Ramot Gilad, where the army was stationed after its battle with Aram, to take Yehu into a private, secluded room and anoint him by pouring the oil on his head and tell him, Ko Amar Hashem, Meshachticha lemelech el Yisrael. Thus said Hashem, I anoint you king over Israel. Then he should beat a fast retreat before anyone realizes what's going on. Ma'am Lois points out a nuance in the language he is told to use. I am anointing you as king el Yisrael. We said over Yisrael, but really it's to Yisrael rather than al Yisrael, over Yisrael. In appointing Yehu as the new leader, Elisha wants to emphasize the correct role of a Jewish king. A king is not there to assert his own power over the people. His job is to serve the people by leading them to fashion a model society and focus on service of God. After getting instructions from Elisha, Yonah goes to carry out his important mission. He pours the oil in Yehu's head and gives him the message from Elisha, explaining very clearly that Yehu's mission is the fulfillment of the nevuah that Eliyahu gave to Ahav after the murder of Nabot. The language used here is actually the exact same language used in Eliyahu's nevuah to Ahav in Malachim Aleph. Pasuk Chet, verse 8, says that the house of Ahav will be destroyed and Hashem will cut off all male offspring. Pasuk Yud, verse 10, predicts that dogs will eat the flesh of Jezebel in the valley of Yisrael. We will see that this prediction will materialize in every detail. Yonah finishes giving this nevuah, opens the door, and hightails it out of there. At this time, Yehoram was recuperating in Yisrael from the wounds he received in battle with Hazael of Aram. This is advantageous for Yehu, since Yehoram's army is stationed in remote Galad, defending the people from Aram, so Yehoram is particularly vulnerable. In a stroke of divine providence, Ahaziah Melch Yehuda, Yehoram's nephew, was visiting him at this time, which will give Yehu the opportunity to kill two birds with one stone, so to speak, and wipe out all traces of Beit Ahab in both kingdoms. Yehu rides with a troop from remote Gilead to Yisrael, and as he approaches the palace where Yehoram is staying, a lookout sees a group of people approaching and sends a scout to check out the situation. The scout approaches Yehu and says, in Pasuk Yudchet, verse 18, Ko amar ha-melech ha-shalom? The king inquires, is all well? Yehu responds, Malacha u'le-shalom, so balacharai. What's your business if all is well? Fall in behind me. You can imagine this imperious general commanding the scout, who meekly obeys and falls behind Yehu. The lookout sees that the scout's not returning, and so they send another scout, and the same thing happens. The lookout now tells Yehoram, in Pasuk Chaf, verse 20, V'haminhag k'minhag Yehu ben Nimshi, ki b'shigaon yinhag. And it looks like the driving of Yehu, the son of Nimshi, who drives wildly. Apparently, Yehu had a signature way of riding his horse, and they were able to identify him. Yehoram decides to go out and approach Yehu himself. He rides toward Yehu and asks him if he comes in peace. Yehu responds in Pasuk Chaf Bet, verse 22, Maha shalom adznuni Izabel imcha uchshafaha harabim. How can all be well as long as your mother Izabel carries on with her countless harlotries and sorceries? Perhaps Yehu is telling him, what do you mean by peace? You and your evil mother are the source of enormous pain and suffering for the Jewish people. So whose peace are you concerned about? Your peace or peace for the Jewish people? At this response, an anachronistic light bulb goes off in Yehoram's head, and he suddenly realizes that he is in serious danger. He whips his horses around to try and escape, telling Ahaziah, who is with him, to try and escape as well. However, Yehu is a very powerful warrior, and in Pasuk Chavdalid, verse 24, he draws back his bow and hits Yehoram between the shoulder blades with the arrow going all the way through his heart. He dies on the spot. Yehu then tells his captain, Bidkar, in Pasuk Chavhei, verse 25, to throw Yehoram's body into the portion of the field belonging to Nevoti Israeli, reminding Bidkar that they had both actually been part of Ahav's retinue when Eliyahu had delivered his nevuah to Ahav about his punishment for the murder of Nevot. This had included the message that his body would be thrown into the field to be eaten by dogs. And in fact, this is what happens to Yehoram's body here. Yehu continues on his mission to destroy Beit Ahav, of which Ahaziah of Yehuda is a part, and therefore he mortally wounds Ahaziah, who then flees and dies in Megiddo. Let's pause and take a moment to apply our two themes that we mentioned at the beginning of this parak. In line with our first theme about the fulfillment of Nevuah, Abarbanel explains that throwing Yehoram into the field was meant to proclaim Yehu's motives. This was not about Yehu's personal aspirations for power. He was killing Yehoram in order to fulfill the directive of the Navi in killing out the sinful Beit Ahav. The location of Yehoram's death, near the field of Nevot, and the fate of his body, which was eaten by dogs, were both in line with the Nevuah of Eliyahu. This is the first step in the fulfillment of that Nevuah. In line with our second theme, Medrash Tanhuma explains that the manner of Yehoram's death was Mida Keneged Mida. If you recall from a discussion of Eshet Ovadia in Perek Dalid, Yehoram had greedily reached out to take interest on the loan he had extended to Ovadia. Later, he hardened his heart to the plight of Ovadia's widowed wife and tried to enslave her orphaned sons as collateral for the unpaid loan. As a punishment laden with symbolism, Yehu's arrow pierced Yehoram between his arms and through his heart. Returning to our storyline, Yehu's next step is to take care of the wicked Izabel. Izabel knows she's in danger, and she gets dressed up, puts on mascara, and stands at the window in an attempt to impress Yehu. Yehu's not impressed, and he tells her courtier to choose between her and him. They choose to side with Yehu, and they push Izabel out of the window to her death. Yehu celebrates the death of this woman who has brought enormous amounts of grief and bloodshed to the Jewish people. He then tells his men to go bury her, but when they go look for her body, all they find is her skull, her feet, and the palms of her hands. We see here, in line with our first theme, that the nevuah about Beit Ahav's destruction continues to be fulfilled with Izebel's death. Radak explains that the one good deed that she did in her lifetime was giving joy to brides by dancing, clapping her hands, and shaking her head. Therefore, this small kind deed is rewarded, while at the same time, the nevuah of Eliyahu that her body will be eaten by dogs is fulfilled. Focusing on our second theme, Ralbag explains that the manner of her death was carried out with Mida Keneged Mida, since she had Navot stoned, which was a death penalty that was accomplished by pushing the defendant from a height, she was killed in the exact same way. As with Yehoram, the location of her death was connected to the heinous crime of murdering Navot Yisraeli, since she dies adjacent to his field in Yisrael. We've seen that there's a lot of symbolism in the way Yehoram and Izebel died, with an arrow between the arms for Yehoram and stoning for Izebel, and the location of both of their deaths in Yisrael. The fate of their bodies being eaten by dogs were a fulfillment of Eliyahu's nevuah. This symbolism was meant to highlight that their deaths were not simply a violent coup that could be chalked up to the machinations of some power-grabbing usurper. Instead, this was a plan of divine retribution for the evil Beit Ahav, which had turned the people away from God. Now, with Yehu making a clean sweep of Beit Ahav, he will have a chance to restart the monarchy on a path dedicated to service of God. We will continue the story of Yehu and his campaign against Beit Ahav in the next chapter and see whether he is successful in this mission. Today, unfortunately, we don't have prophecy, and therefore we can't necessarily know exactly why things happen to us. Symbolism in our lives cannot necessarily have the same meaning for us as it did for someone living in the time of prophecy. However, we can always take our experiences and see whether they highlight something specific that we need to change. We can choose to grow through what we go through, using our experiences as guideposts for change. Thank you for studying together. Le'ilo Nishmas Frida Bat Moshe Eliyahu.